Good morning. You're on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day working for your liberty. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Talking about much that's happening in our nation, we just had Airbus 320 has crashed over the Alps. We were discussing that, and Israel reportedly spying on Iran. Nuclear talks in an effort to lobby Congress. Plenty always happen in the news, it would seem. And we have some guests we're going to bring to you a little bit later. Right now, though, we have Faith on the line. Faith, you there?
I am here.
And we were just talking a little bit before the program. We ran up against the wall there. But how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm grieved about these so many tragedies we hear about. And then I have an awareness of the glut of entertainment and stuff and conveniences and ease of communication and all our delicacies. But Sunday night at our church, a Pastor Salvador, that's his first name, from the Philippine Islands, presented a ministry, very multifaceted. They feed 400 kids a week, but that is the draw for them to do Bible studies with the families. And so it's not just physical. It's they stress the study of the infallible Word of God. They have a school, a church, you know, youth ministries, and they even work with law enforcement. He claims that his country is like as the USA was 50 years ago, you know, that open, and thanks America for sending missionaries to the Philippines.
And America has had an incredible role in missions and really has been instrumentally used by God. And that's a great point to bring up there as far as entertainment being in our society. I think it's worthy to note that if you look at other nations, when they were on their decline, forms of entertainment were basically on the rise, if you will. A classic example would be Rome. You have the gladiatorial games, and you have the persecuting of Christians even, the killing of Christians for amusement, and that's a sick kind of amusement, not necessarily the same we have in our nation right now. But that's a good point to bring up there, Faith.
Well, I appreciate your station, and I'll leave it at that, but we just should be so much in prayer, which, you know, I'm talking to myself about.
Aren't we all, right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Of course. Well, we appreciate your call, Faith. You have a wonderful day.
You as well.
Take care.
God bless you.
Well, we have in studio. Well, I'll go ahead and let them announce. We've got two very special individuals with the Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer in Action, kind of dovetailing right off this phone call. Gentlemen, how you both doing this morning?
Doing fine. Thank
doing
you.
Fine.
Good morning.
Thank
so
you.
We have Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick, why don't you go ahead and, of course, you're a pastor. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe what church do you pastor, your involvement with the organization?
Sure. I'm the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Percy, Pennsylvania. It's an Orthodox Presbyterian church. So it's focused on scriptures as the Word of God and developing a Christian life based on what scriptures teach. And one of those things that we're concerned about is the drift of our nation towards humanism and the impact that humanism is having on our culture as a whole. And one of the things that we've tried to do is develop a monthly meeting called the Bucksmont Patriots Prayer and Action Group that seeks to train Christian people in more of a cultural awareness and how to develop a Christian worldview, how to respond to government issues today. And Ken's done a lot to lead that by providing various training materials and so forth. So.
And we also, and that's perfect, we also have Ken here,
yes,
on the air with us, who is organizer for the Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am doing just fine, thank you.
Very good. Very good to have you on. So just had Faith, a wonderful caller, talking about some different things she sees in our nation's kind of concerned about, increase in entertainment necessarily, rather than what may matter in life. Whether you think that's the Bible, of course, we'd all say, yeah, Scripture is what matters. But many people may think, well, entertainment is the only thing. Well, there's my job, there's wealth, there's becoming in positions of political power. And if that's you, we'd like to talk with you, actually. But we have so many other people who think that there are many other different things of importance here in our nation. So go ahead and tell us a little bit then about why Scripture may matter and why that is really of importance to not just the Christian, but to everyone who's listening. Go ahead, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I would say Scripture is critically important in establishing morality and law. You know, from religion comes morality, and from morality comes law. And we're seeing in our country a great move away from that into secular humanism, where we rely on the natural man and his ability to create laws. We're seeing the absolute disastrous effects of that. So from my perspective, and one of the reasons I started this group is, as Faith had indicated on the phone call, is prayer. Prayer is just absolutely critical. And it is, ironically, the one thing that can turn this all around.
Amen.
And so that's why we started this group, as a prayer group of patriots. And I think that's very consistent with what George Washington would have done, has done. We know from many of his quotes that he was a man of religion, and our founding fathers were all men of prayer. And so that's how this all came about.
Now, Pastor Rick, and this is I'm going to hit the nail right on the head here. This is probably for the church, whether you're in the church or out of the church, going to become one of the big topics.
Mm-hmm.
How much should the church be involved in that word no one likes to say on Sunday morning, politics?
Right, yeah.
And as a pastor, how much do you think you should be involved in that? Maybe not in certain ways,
mm-hmm.
but in a way that God has ordained, if I could say that, you to do.
That's a great question, and it's something that pastors are wrestling with, I think, on the whole. What is the relationship between the church and state, and what role does the church have in addressing issues for the state? And I think a lot of pastors have shied away and been concerned about addressing those things. And in part, it's hard for pastors who have not been trained in some of these more developed ideas of socialism versus capitalism. The establishment of the family and the way that the government is drifting into the family and taking over the control of family situations. I think pastors are not really trained about that. Their focus is on the preaching of the gospel and renewing of life and many other things. But I think pastors need to be addressing these matters from the pulpit and also throughout the life of the church. And I think groups like this provide a discipleship opportunity whereby we can focus more directly and fully on matters of economics, of justice, of compassion for the poor and needy, and so forth. And so the preaching forms the foundation for the development of these kinds of discipleship efforts.
And by the way, if you just tuned in, you're on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Talking to Pastor Rick. And we're talking to Ken, Ken is the organizer of Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action, a local group getting involved in politics through prayer and through influencing their own spheres in the community, talking about some of how politics intersect in the church. Now, we're getting close to a break. We just got a few minutes left here. If you have questions for them, call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, Christian or not, and abroad, call at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. But here's something that would be interesting to go into as well, and Ken, I'd like your take on this a little bit too, but this is, again, Pastor, this is going to be right at you. Above our little country is another little country, a very big country, Canada. And it is illegal for pastors to preach on homosexuality. It is not a matter of, because here in our nation, it is a matter of losing your tax-exempt status as a 501c3. That's the risk if you preach on politics directly from the pulpit. You could preach on ideals, ideologies, and how they even relate to politics, but you can't endorse a candidate. You can't do anything like that. That is what has been purported. Some people on our station even would disagree with that. But for now, in Canada, it is illegal for pastors to preach against homosexuality. Will there become a point in this nation where we face the same thing and where basically it's going to be no holds barred on the pulpit anymore, where the whole spectrum will be open? We're heading to a break, but chew on that for a little bit, and I'd love to get your answer, and Ken, I'd love to get your input in that. And if you have questions for them, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. They're with the Bucksmont Christian Patriots for prayer and action, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. We'll be back right after this. 1180 WFYL, it's a new day. Thanks for joining the program. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We have Ken with us from Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action, the organizer of that group. And we also have Pastor Rick. We just brought a question up to him, of course, talking about news and politics and what that means, and that may just intersect the church here, and we don't know how shortly. Now, this is another kind of detail on the question. I'll repeat it for our listeners and those who just called in. But so we got a couple things going on. We have the Supreme Court expected to rule on homosexual marriage this summer. That's the time they're expected to have a ruling on it. Personally, I think that they will rule in favor of it. I do. I really do. That may not happen, but I think that's what's going to happen. Now, the question that I posed to you, Pastor, was that in the nation just above us, where it's a frozen tundra right now, and it's been a frozen tundra here, actually, and it was the first day of spring. We got six inches of snow. But anyway, that's beside the point. In a nation above us right now, it is illegal for pastors to preach from the pulpit. And many of our listeners who maybe are not Christian or are Christian, they may not have even been aware of this, but it is illegal for them to preach against homosexuality from the pulpit. Now, with everything happening in politics today and in the political sphere, of course, the church is left saying, what do we do? Is this going to open kind of the can of worms, if you will, where would that kind of have a no hold? If that similar situation happened here, would that be a no holds barred kind of situation where pastors would then be free to talk about any kind of political issue? Because right now in the United States, a fear of your church losing a 501c3 status, tax-exempt status. If you endorse a candidate, you could talk about political issues, but not necessarily ideologies. Is that coming here? And if so, how will the church respond?
Yeah, I think it is coming here. I think it's over in Great Britain as well, Canada, as you've mentioned. And I think that this issue is the spear point of attack against Christian faith and Christian church. It's going to be specifically focused on pastors and their preaching because it's going to be labeled as hate speech. And any attempt to show a biblical concern for marriage, the way that God ordained that we should form marriages, any attempt to advance that is going to be silenced by intimidation, threats, legal action, and so forth. So you already see that in Christian businesses when the bakers who wanted to refuse to provide a bridal cake for a gay couple who wanted to be married. I mean, you're seeing that happening now, and I think this is just a wedge issue that the humanists, the secularists are using, specifically targeting the church and pastors, and it will eventually begin to put preachers in prison.
So. Ken, as the organizer, thank you so much for that answer. Ken, as the organizer of Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action, This obviously, you are addressing all these issues through prayer. But there is also action in that, too. What does, again, you're not a pastor yourself, at least I don't believe so, unless there's a piece of information I'm not okay.
No.
But what does that mean for you as a quote-unquote layperson?
Yes.
What does that mean for you?
Well, I think one of the things I would love to see our group do is to prepare lay people how to defend our faith, and especially in this particular area. Sometimes it's very difficult to know how to answer questions of, well, don't you love these people? I mean, they love each other. Why not? So I think one of the things I would like to see is to prepare strategies and talking points, narratives, whatever you want to call it, to be able to argue against it and why it is really not the loving thing to say, yeah, it's okay. At one point in this country, everybody believed that slavery was okay. So we don't jump on the bandwagon because everybody believes something. And so that would be my answer.
And I think it's worthy to note that the people who were abolitionists were Christians.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of people would also say that those who were proponents of slavery were using scripture as well. But there are also people who use scripture to justify, oh, I don't know, adultery. they use. There are people out there who say that, well, grace, it's all underneath grace. There's nothing I could do wrong. So there's a lot of people who use scripture for anything they want. And honestly, we should expect that in a postmodern society. People are going to use anything the way that they see fit. Now, let's not even really go into the scripture that says everyone does right in their own eyes, you know, talking about Israel when they walked away from God, every man did right in his own eyes, and how that applies to our nation. Let's not even go there. let's go ahead and talk about the constitutional impact of labeling speech, which has happened in Canada, and many have talked about here in these United States as hate speech. For a pastor to speak against homosexuality from the pulpit, those same people who would argue that separation of church and state is integral would bring hate speech, a political concept, into the church. And is that even constitutional? Forget the Christian aspect of it. If this happens in one place of government, it will be very hard to stop in other places. Every person knows that who has ever had to deal with the IRS. Every person, no, let's hope it's in a legal way. If you're evading your taxes, that's not good. Don't do it. Anyway, a little tangent there. But what are the constitutionality of violating freedom of speech so that someone can have their ideas imposed on another through their voice? I mean, let's even forget about the church. This is what the real trouble is for the listener who's not necessarily Christian, is that idea, in how is the church really the remedy, the gospel really the remedy for it? Because the postmodern view says whatever is right in my eyes is right, and the majority rules. But if the majority one day says that your rights are not as important as someone else's rights, because of no other reason other than you disagree with me, then are we different than any other tyranny that has pervaded throughout the whole history? And how is the gospel, and only the gospel, the particular answer to this problem? Pastor?
Well, I think you're right in observing that hate speech is really an attempt to disrupt our First Amendment right to the freedom of speech. It's trying to classify certain areas of speech as outside the boundaries. And really, what comes about is that speech is labeled wrong because somebody gets offended by it. Well, different ideas offend me in the political world. There are all kinds of things out there that offend me and upset me.
Of course.
But that doesn't mean it should be unconstitutional or ruled out. I think the left is often talking about a tolerant society, and yet what you find is that they try to suppress dissent and silence those who would oppose their point of view. You try to oppose the position on homosexual rights and so forth, and you're going to get silenced by the media and so forth. So, I mean, it's a great challenge to the church today.
Well, I want to continue that question. I know we've got a break, but I want to continue your answer. We're going to have you guys back for one more segment. Ken, I want to get a little bit of you in this as well. You have questions for the pastor and for Ken with Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action. Call in locally, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180, WFYL 1180. It's a new day, working for your liberty. Happy Tuesday! No one really says that, but I figured I'd say it. You're on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levins, Al Locke, and we also have Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action in the studio today. We have Ken, who's the organizer, and Pastor Rick. And we were just coming off of the heels of a question I'd like to go a little bit deeper into. We were talking about the impact of pastors under penalty of I'm guessing fines in prison. I don't know the exact statutes of the law, but in Canada, and this has been around for a while, so it's not new news. But
let me interject here, Michael, that an attack on the pastors is an attack on the church. It's an attack on the congregation. And I, for one, stand firmly with the pastors. I'm adamantly opposed to, like it happened in Houston, they wanted the pastors to submit their sermons before they gave them from the pulpit. It's not going to happen as far as I'm concerned. The congregation, I came from Alsace Lutheran Church above Reading in Muhlenberg Township. One of the Muhlenbergs was a general in the Revolutionary Army. Pastor asked on Veterans Day to have the veterans stand up. 90% of the men stood up. We are not going to let our pastors be taken off because what they say when they're saying God's word from the pulpit. If that's going to happen, it's going to have ramifications that'll be unbelievable in this country. There's a million hunters in Pennsylvania, and basically they're armed with 30-06 rifles. It's not going to happen without a big time pushback.
Though we're talking about some kind of conflict, which I think everyone would want to avoid.
Well, they're bringing it on. They're bringing it to our pulpits. They're talking about sending our pastors to jail. This is not going to happen.
Well, and what is the right even of the individual? That's a whole other discussion. You know, what is the right of the individual and going into that, and really, okay, are we as Americans, and even you could even look in the Constitution, are we even entitled to kind of resist? And there are definitely elements in the Constitution that say. Now, from a Christian point of view, you know, you sit there and go, okay, would it be really ultimately fruitful to be, and obviously no one would want that kind of occurrence. No one would want that. But
well, somebody that wanted to destroy the country, somebody whose agenda was to destroy the United States of America, some traitor, some quisling would want that, yes.
Well, and there's a lot of different takes on it. There's a lot of different opinions on it. And we've got a bunch of different people listening and opening up the discussion. What do you think? The discussion 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Let's go back to Pastor Rick, and let's go back to Ken here. What are the implications for homosexual marriage and a pastor talking about that from the pulpit? What really are the implications? And we were discussing that a little bit before the break, okay? What would happen? Because, again, the Supreme Court is looking to rule on this summer. So is that going to, if that did happen, it's illegal for pastors to preach on homosexual marriage in Canada, would that open up a can of worms and kind of open up a no-holds-barred for pastors here in this nation, what would happen and how would we respond? We were going into that. I'd like to continue. Pastor Rick, go ahead.
Well, I think obviously it's a real challenge for pastors. They may face imprisonment at some point, and they got to be prepared to stand up and proclaim God's word, whatever comes. So we will do that. I think this is one more manifestation of the way I think it was both the president and the former Secretary of State Clinton would make use of the freedom of worship rather than the freedom of religion. And there was a distinction there that they were making. They were trying to slough that off onto the American people without, you know, people being quite aware of the distinction there. What they want to do is keep Christianity within the four walls of the church and silence it outside the church building through the week. And so that was a part of the suppression of the church. You're not to live out your Christian life in the general community as religion. You are to keep it in your church and make it your own private experience. And now the gay marriage issue is one where it's a social impact message. And it addresses morality, it addresses one's relationship to God, and they want that silence. In the end, this is all about their rebellion against God and his ways, his laws. And as was said earlier, I think that the remedy is the preaching of the gospel, the faithful preaching of God's law. That's something that's been lost very much today. We cannot know what sin is unless the law of God is explained clearly and fully. And the problem today is that people are not hearing that. They're just hearing the gospel message, God loves you and has sent his son to die for your sins. And that's great. But you got to understand why it is that Christ is so necessary. Why is it that we need a Redeemer in Jesus Christ? And that's because we are sinners. We've broken God's law, and there's a great penalty to be paid for that. And so the full gospel message needs to be sounded forth today like never before. And you know, now's the time when Christian ministry really needs to stand up and preach with clarity and power.
Ken?
I would totally agree with that. I think a lot of pastors are thinking that they can avoid this issue in hopes that maybe it'll just blow over. It will not. It will only get worse. If you do not speak up now, you will never have another opportunity to do that. I think of Germany, 1930s, when many thought that, you know, they could just sort of get along and go along, these pastors. And there was only a few, Bonhoeffer and a few others, that really stood up against Hitler. And this is happening today in this country. And you know, these pastors, I encourage them to not buy into that dichotomy between the sacred and the secular, and to keep, you know, just preach the gospel. You know, you hear that a lot. Just preach the gospel. Well, that sounds great, but what is the gospel? The gospel is more than just, hey, Jesus loves me and he's washed away my sins and he's taken me to heaven. It's that, but it's all that much more, as Pastor Rich alluded to. It's the law of God, how we live after we're saved. All these things enter into it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's one more I'd like to get your take on, one more event happening in the news, gentlemen. So if you bear with me, we just have a few minutes left.
I'd just like to interject here that 11 of the disciples were killed for Christ, and Christ himself was crucified. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of commitment that we have to have as Christians.
Amen.
We have to have the same mindset that Christ has. We're his disciples. We're his followers. This is... Some of us, and I speak for myself, are not backing down here. We follow Christ till death.
And I think everyone understands that they would, and hopefully they would, as Christians, that they're really, that is, God, Christ does call us to forsake everything. He really does call us to forsake everything in following him.
It'd be an honor to be a martyr for Christ. An honor.
Of course. And, of course, we have Fox's Book of Martyrs, which in Christian realms, people hold in high esteem, people all over the world who are giving their lives for the gospel. One more thing I want to purport to you guys this morning. Israel reportedly spying on nuclear talks in an effort to lobby Congress, our Congress, against a deal, kind of seeing nations are bartering for votes in other nations. Now, as Christians, you know, we support Israel, and we believe that those who support Israel they'll be blessed. But because they're God's chosen people, but that doesn't mean Israel is completely innocent in everything. And I think maybe for some Christians who are listening, maybe someone who knows about that who isn't a Christian, would say, well, what are you going to do with this one? What's your take on that, Pastor? We just have about 2 minutes, so go ahead.
I think even if Israel was a Christian nation, you would want to hold them to Christian standards. And if they were breaking down those standards, then you need to call them into account. The fact is, they're not a Christian nation. And there are some who consider Israel as being a second family of God, as it were, and entitled to certain privileges as a fulfillment of prophecy. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think all the promises for Israel are fulfilled in the church. We are the people of God. We are the true Israel. Now, with regard to this recent news item, Israel needs to act in its own self-interest, and I'm sure they're not the only ones who are lobbying Congress at this time. I'm sure Iran and all of its surrogates are lobbying and doing all they can, including the Ayatollah saying death to America. So they have their way of applying pressure as well. I think, personally, this deal is a horrible deal, and the way that we have approached the conflicts in the Middle East has been extremely weak. And I think this is one more evidence of a humanistic approach to society where all values are lost. It's a relativistic view of the Middle East, and we're just playing power politics, basically. And the president is looking for something to tarnish his embellish his image as a peacemaker. And I think this is going to be a great mistake.
Gentlemen, thank you so much again with Bucksmont Christian Patriots for Prayer and Action. Visit our Facebook page, 1180 AM WFYL. More information on them. We'll be back after this. You're listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. It's a new day. Call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180 abroad. Got your Ukrainian update. U.S. House urging Obama to send arms to Ukraine. The U.S. House, and this is from RT.com, it's a Russian news agency. The U.S. House has passed a resolution calling on President Barack Obama to send lethal weapons to Ukraine, despite the fragile truce in the eastern part of the country. Now, I think it's worthy to mention that this agency, RT, is very biased, and I think we would have Roman Andreychik, who's come in, he's native Ukrainian, visits Ukraine about two or three times a year, speaks with people on the ground there, that he would probably say the same thing, that a lot of the Russian press, so to speak, is very polarized, or not very polarized, I should say very biased. It's all controlled by the Kremlin, essentially. But let's continue reading. I think that's worthy to say before I keep on reading this article. The non-binding resolution was approved by an overwhelming majority, 348-48. Sending weapons to the Kiev government would not mean involvement in a new war for America, claimed U.S. Representative Elliot Ingalls, a Democrat from New York, on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Quote, the people of Ukraine are not looking for American troops, unquote, Ingalls said. They are just looking for the weapons. This war poses the greatest threat to European security since World War II. This is, again, according to Engel. And we shouldn't take it lightly, and we shouldn't be idle. We shouldn't sit back, and we shouldn't let other countries tell us what to do. It comes as the White House is unwilling to make any radical moves on Ukraine and follows German Chancellor Angela Merkel's efforts to persuade Obama to commit to Ukraine's truce plan during her February visit to the U.S. Back in September, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko requested Congress to authorize a delivery of U.S. military equipment to the Ukrainian government. So far, Obama has only signed off on non-lethal aid and sanctions against Russia, which Kiev and Washington claim is involved in the conflict, despite giving no evidence to support the notion. Again, I think it's worthy to note that this is RT, was a Russian news agency, and the media is flat-out state-controlled in Russia. Let's keep on reading. The Ukrainian military launched an operation in the country's southeast last April after the Donetsk and Luhansk regions refused to recognize the new authorities in Kiev, which were installed during the February 2014 coup, is how they characterize it. The death toll In the Ukraine conflict has exceeded 5,800 people, many of them civilians, while another 14,000 have been injured, according to the February UN report. The Donetsk airport has remained a battlefield in the conflict since May 2014. I think the issue really is, and this is again, President Obama, in all of his wisdom, is not sending lethal aid, which we have had Roman Andrejczyk and Irene Mazur, who works very closely with UN and U.S. government in relations with Ukraine, works very closely as far as from a press point of view. And he is not sending lethal equipment, lethal aid, and to the Ukrainians, which from both of them has been the point which they have hammered, that this is what we need, this is what, and I will say this, Russia, because again, I'm reading right here from RT, this is a Russian news agency, so far Obama has only signed off on non-lethal aid and sanctions against Russia, which Kiev and Washington claim is involved in the conflict, and here's the kicker, despite giving no evidence to support the notion. Well, then it should be completely fine to send lethal aid over there if Russia's not involved. That's how I look at it.
And Michael, could I interject?
Sure.
The senators have sent letters, as senators and representatives have sent letters to Obama. Roman has brought those in for us to see as recently as this past month, urging the president to do what he promised, you know, because this was passed back in December and they haven't done anything.
Right.
And Roman will be here tomorrow at 8:30 to update us.
And he will. And that's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's funny to me, because if Russia sits there and claims that they're not involved and that these are rebels.
Right.
Against the Ukrainian government. Well, then, again, rebels against the Ukrainian government, despite the fact that a lot of, and we've talked about this in prior programs with Roman, a lot of the population in that part of Ukraine, and Crimea especially, does not necessarily agree with Russian rule, and a lot of them who may have even been initially for it, even though that was a smaller percent of the population, I guess you could say. A number of them who would have been for it now are seeing that turn a little bit because they're not so happy with Russian rule. But then it shouldn't be any issue to send lethal aid to preserve the government of Ukraine. We do that with other governments.
Right.
In fact, we did that with Yemen, and Yemen is just falling apart, essentially. But what... then it shouldn't be an issue, I think. If Russia's going to sit there and go, we're not involved, all right, then let's send lethal aid to the Ukrainians. We need to help them preserve their government.
Let's
be clear also that the Russian government, according to an official State Department report, hasn't caught the murders of 8 separate Russian newsmen in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the routine murder of Russian newsmen who probably were trying to bring the truth to the Russian people is commonplace. In fact, before last year, dozens and dozens of Russian newsmen were killed. Very few of the murders were caught and basically brought to trial, which kind of says something. I mean, the feared Russian Interior Ministry or whatever it's called now, KGB formerly, is known for catching people and throwing people in jail for the smallest pretext. For them not to catch the murders tells you what kind of a regime is in Russia. So we really have a big-time problem over there. The Russians are bordering on a dictatorship. So we really need to deal with them accordingly. And this is something that we need. They understand power. They understand strength. I was happy to see they transferred some A-10 tank-destroying airplanes over there. But on the other hand, we need to react with our Polish and other allies in the area to basically stand firm against Russia, because Russia, Putin has said that he wants to reconstitute essentially the boundaries of the old USSR, and that's unacceptable. The people of Poland, for one, don't want it. The people of Estonia don't want it. The people of Ukraine don't want it, and we have to help them as best we can.
I'd like to share something. On this day in 1882, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow died. Generations of school children have memorized these lines that he wrote. Thou too, sail on, O ship of state, sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity, with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate. We know what master laid thy keel, what workmen wrought thy ribs of steel. Our hearts, our hopes, our prayers, our tears, our faith triumphant or our fears, are all with thee, are all with thee. That ship of state has been asked to help many nations through the years, and we have. We're not a perfect country, but we have helped many. And I really do pray that we can help Ukraine at this time of their great need.
We've given aid, arms, ammunition to many Middle Eastern nations, money. Mm-hmm. What is the difference here with Ukraine? President Obama knows it. Is he willing to make a stand? It's 1180 WFYL. Thanks for listening. Got Laura Ingram at 9. It's a pleasure to have you on the program this morning as a listener. Mike Levins, Alan Susan saying, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow.